Welcome to the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Thank you for listening online. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you. The 503 Report at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
Speaker, members of the Senate, of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
They say we don't realize the mess we're getting in.
Korea is a small country, thousands of miles away. But what is happening there is important to every American. On Sunday, June 25th, communist forces attacked the Republic of Korea. Free nations must be on their guard, more than ever before, against this kind of sneak attack. We are united in detesting communist slavery.
We had neighbors still inside.
How many men who listen to me tonight have served their nation in other wars? How very many are not here to listen? The war in Vietnam is not like these other wars. Yet, finally, war is always the same.
Just breed anger. That's what the experts say. It was up to me.
Good evening. Yesterday, after conferring with my senior national security advisors and following extensive consultations with our coalition partners, Saddam Hussein was given one last chance, set forth in very explicit terms to do what he should have done more than 6 months ago, withdraw from Kuwait without condition or further delay, and comply fully with the resolutions passed by the United Nations Security Council. Regrettably, the noon deadline passed without the agreement of the government of Iraq to meet demands of United Nations Security Council Resolution 607.
I want you all to know that America today is on bended knee in prayer for the people whose lives were lost here, for the workers who work here, for the families who mourn. This nation stands with the good people of New York City and New Jersey and Connecticut as we mourn the loss of thousands of our citizens. I can hear you!
How is it that December the 7th, 1941 is different than September 11th, 2001. Hawaii was not a state at that time, yet to this day, we differentiate between the two. On that December morning, over 2,400 Americans lost their lives. On that September morning, nearly 3,000 innocent people from around the world lost their lives when the Twin Towers were attacked and fell. Much like that winter morning in Hawaii, the dawn attack in New York City was a shock heard round the world. America was drawn into a war on two fronts during World War II. With very few allies, America was drawn into a global war on terror throughout the Middle East. America was united, and with its European allies, destroyed what was arguably the greatest threat known to mankind. America and three coalition partners waited nearly 2 years to attack Iraq in Operation Iraqi Freedom. But America and many around the world soon lost its willingness to complete the mission without the capture or death of the faces of terror, Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein. Hussein was captured some 2 years after September 11th. The world was ready for the war on terror to be over. Osama bin Laden was killed nearly 10 years after 9/11. America stood by its World War II veterans at the conclusion of the war. While not all Americans wanted nothing but to forget about the war on terror and forget about the sacrifices our men and women in uniform did for our country. The Veterans Administration has had a track record of negligence and cost-cutting instead of its commitment to honor the sacrifice of our men and women in uniform. America, we should never forget what happened on that September morning and the impact that is felt to this day. Hello, everyone. It is Friday. It is our favorite day of the week. And how ironic, our show on September 11th, 14 years ago, America was attacked. And how quickly we forget. We forgot after that. Like I said, without those faces of terror captured, a different time than 70 years ago than December 7th, 1941. With me, as always, my good friend to my right, Andrew Wilburn. Buddy, how you doing today, pal?
You know, it's not much to say, you know, Tim, after that introduction, that compilation that you put together, and that was just awesome, man, and probably one of the greatest compilations I think you're going to hear on the air across America. You know, we touched everything, folks, from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, of course, the First Gulf War, and then, of course, where we are today, the history of this nation. It seems like, if anything, folks, you need to pay attention to what that compilation really says. It seems like every generation or so, there's some entity out there in the world, whether it be a foreign nation or a group backed by foreign nations that want to take on this great nation called the United States. And as we enter into the school year right now, we have teenagers now entering into high school right now that are teenagers that they were very young or just born when this date occurred, this incident occurred back in 2001. So folks, you know, history is very important as we talk about, and we can never forget our history. Hello folks, Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you on our podcast, Where America's Voice is Heard, Tim.
And Andrew, we can never forget where we were on that day. That was a day that most of us will never forget. And I was around for when Kennedy was assassinated. But really, this day, the innocent people, not just people who sign up for the military, Andrew, because they basically know what they're getting into. They could be called for something. But to have those planes flown into those towers and into the Pentagon, and then those tragic, that, you know, the people taking over that last flight and crashing the plane in Pennsylvania, the innocent people drawn into, because America was drawn into World War II, like I said, on two fronts, but the innocent people that were taken down by these cowards, we should never, ever forget that.
Well, regardless of your position, whether you take a position of controversy or, you know, your position on one side or the other, We always forget that usually war usually results or begins throughout our world history with the innocent being affected, the innocent being attacked, whether you be a military personnel, it doesn't matter. You know, it's always a surprise attack. It's always something that occurs possibly amongst innocent people. And so where are we today in today's very dangerous world? Well, as a result of the United States, I believe, being tired of war. I mean, look, I'm the first one to say, man, when this occurred, I wanted my pound of flesh just like everybody else. But as a result of maybe us lightening up, as we say, and taking our eye off the ball, we now are faced with a bigger issue in this world today as a result of us actually not finishing the job.
And that's something that we should have done a long time ago. It's going to be very difficult to do that now, as we have seen since in those 14 years since then, Andrew, you know, that we're removing our troops from those troubled areas in the Middle East. And it's going to be very, very difficult. You know, we just hope that that day never happens again here on American soil like it did on September 11th, 2001.
No, that's the only thing that we can pray for. But unfortunately, as history shows, generation after generation, it's always going to be a generation that comes after this nation. So this next generation growing up, it's your turn. It's our turn to realize that a threat to the United States is inevitable.
Absolutely, my friend.
Okay, folks, today's date, 9/11. Of course, we all know this. And of course, we can never, ever forget this. Years 2001, two passenger planes hijacked by terrorists crash into New York's World Trade Tower, causing the collapse of both buildings and the death of 2,752 people. 2001, same day, terrorists hijack a passenger plane and crash it into the Pentagon, causing the death of 125 military personnel. And of course, 2001, this is the one that we forget about. Attempt by the passengers and crew of United Airlines Flight 93 to retake control of the hijacked plane from the terrorists causes the plane to crash in a Pennsylvania field, killing all 64 people on board.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And now, it's live from the high desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains. It's the 503 Report. Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reiner.
Thank you, Stan. The views and opinions expressed on the 503 Report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management of KSUE or Sierra Broadcasting Company, and are brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network. And yes, we are on the air. Motion's getting a little bit better of yours truly here. But that's okay. We were good. Nothing to worry about. With me, as always, my good friend on my right and feeling better, I'm glad, Andrew Wellborn. Buddy, how are you today, man?
Yes, we are on the air. And yes, I'll repeat it. It was awesome, man. I mean, that was a lot of work you put into that. You know, you put that compilation on the first segment of the show together months ago, anticipating
that
today's show was going to be on 9/11. And I tell you, we've been chomping at the bit to play it. It is emotional. It is probably one of the greatest compilations I think I've heard between music and historical records. So, folks, I encourage you to go back, listen to the first segment if you are listening to this show on Saturday, Sunday, and catch that first segment, Tim. I have to tell you, maybe we can get our good friend John Schufer to post that specifically on our website so that everybody can hear it at any time. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you on our podcast where America's voice is heard, which is, by the way, now on iTunes, Tim.
Absolutely, and that is, you've been waiting and waiting and waiting for that, and I'd like you to really let the listeners know how they can go about getting that, because, you know, we've been on the internet where you can find our show before, but now to be able to find something like portable like this, Andrew, is just truly amazing, and how great it is.
Well, I just got a little signal interference right there between my smartphone and my computer and everything with the wires here and the microphones in the studio. But it's real simple for all you tech guys out there. It's real simple. You just go to iTunes, tap in the 503 Report, and hit subscribe. If you're on an Android, you can do the same thing with an Android podcast app, and do the same thing. You can subscribe to the 503 Report, and you can catch us anytime. I'm looking at about 10 episodes right now that have been uploaded. Our last 10 shows, we're about a month behind, but we're slowly, steadily beginning to update that platform so that individuals can kind of catch up a little bit of our history because of some of the shows that we've been talking about, so our future audience can kind of catch up with us. But it's real simple, folks. The great thing about this is that you can carry us and you can catch us anytime on iTunes, on your smartphone, your iPad, or any other type of computer that you have, because it'll update immediately when we upload after our shows on Fridays to listen to at your convenience on any time that you want to. And it's really cool. And so we're excited about being a part of the Apple family, the iTunes family. We want to thank those guys for actually accepting us, legitimizing us, and welcoming us to their store for distribution across this globe.
And that was something that, see, I knew nothing about. I am not that tech savvy. I can download an app, but the folks want to go do that, and you say subscribe. That's all they have to do. Is there a money cost in that,
no,
Andrew?
It's totally 100% free. The 503 Report will be free. And another way you can go, obviously, you can go straight to our website and hit our archives. There's so many ways to find it, to actually subscribe. All the technical interactions are still coming. We're still building them. They're almost completely done to where actually we're going to be a full-fledged interactive which means that we're going to have to get busy on certain things. And my good friend and one of our greatest producers in this project, Mr. John Shuford, has reminded me that I have to start tweeting. I just don't know if I'm going to start tweeting at this point. I don't know. But it's part of our interaction. You know. So the 503 Report is starting to step up to the big boys. We're getting a little bit of big boy action, and we're ready to play. Put us in, Coach. We're ready to play with the big boys and take on some of those big individuals that you listen to every day up here in Northeastern California.
Well, you know, I'm just glad right now that the video, you know, we only have that in studio right now. But, boy, I'm going to have to shave, and we're going to have to do things a little bit differently. But how great is that, a local program here in Northeastern California, in there with the Becks and the Rushes, the Hannitys, whoever, down the line. You can catch our show coming here from Northeastern California. You can catch us anywhere that you are. And you're to be congratulated, Andrew, because of my – in 4 years, how we have come along. I think you had like a five-year plan. We're a little bit ahead.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on things. Folks, there's only a few of us that are doing this. We don't have like what Hannity's and Beck's and Rush is that. We don't have staffs. We have a couple of us here. And we can't thank John enough and you enough for everything that goes on. So it's tough sometimes to do things that we do, Andrew.
Well, it's been a journey, and now the real work begins, as we say. We've gotten into the arena. Now it's time to play. And, we're going to be amongst the gladiators in this arena trying to compete and trying to do what we do here on the 503 Report, which is bring in the what is not being said to you here from Northeastern California. Without a doubt, Alter Effects. Folks, you can go to our website, www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard, and you can click on altereffects.com. That's the home site of Mr. John Shuford. You know, John has done just about everything with our technology. And I have to tell you, the website design, everything. So if you're looking for any type of upgrade in your business here locally or throughout the state of California or across the nation now, that website right there, that guy's a pro, and he can really, really help you. So take a look at him. And we're proud to be sponsored by Mr. John Shuford and Alter Effects with the 503 Network.
Andrew, you know, were we Donald Trump before Donald Trump 4 years ago said what people weren't saying? Is that why he is so popular? Because he's taking a page out of the 503 Report?
You know, every time Donald opens his mouth, I cringe a little bit, you know, as far as his political incorrectness. And it seems to be resonating, as we say. And then, of course, the CNN debate. And, of course, we'll talk a little bit about that on this last segment. Let's take a look at California.
Absolutely, Andrew.
Some cool news actually coming out of the legislature.
No way.
Believe it or not, folks, it seems like this 50% reduction in gasoline use in motorized vehicle. That bill, sponsored by Kevin DeLeon and a couple other leftists down there in the legislature, the goal was to eliminate the basically gasoline motors in California by 2030, has failed. So it has not garnered support. It seemed like that the Governor Jerry Brown, DeLeon, and some of that leadership, that Democrat leadership in the California legislature, was a little disappointed. But it really comes down to a statement that we've said several times on the show. You can want in one hand, spit in the other one. Which one's going to fill up first? The state cannot mandate a technology that does not exist at this point in time. And so fortunately, it seems like the more moderate, the word that they like to use. I call them conservative Democrats, which is going to be interesting because the conservative Democrat fight with the leftist Democrat is about to begin in Sacramento, and I think this is a first stage right here. The reality is that the state cannot just mandate something to happen, and we're starting to see that trend, Tim, more and more with the state is trying to mandate things that basically, you know, they can't just make happen.
Well, and that brings up the question, well, they want to reduce the reduction by 50%, but what do they have out there to offer as a resource out there for us? Let's up here in the rural areas up here. We don't have buses and trains and things like that like the big cities do. They don't even have enough capacity. We can't rely on the bullet train. Nobody's talked about that, but that's, you know, kind of a failure, but we can't rely on that. So what are we supposed to rely on? What they haven't said, well, this is what we have to do. Is it just go to electric cars, plug them in? We don't have those things up here in northeastern California like they do in the cities, Andrew.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, the Tesla product, and then, of course, we just saw where Toyota has now just released its newest hybrid. You know, the question is going to be is how long is this hybrid technology and this battery vehicle movement going to last? And, you know, I mean, the big secret, folks, is that at this point in time, the battery technology, and Detroit knows this, is not really developing at the level that, you know, they're anticipating or they're trying to sell it as developing. And so in order to, well, let's put it this way, by 2030, the battery technology is just not going to be there in 15 years at the level that the state of California was kind of hoping with this bill proposal.
Well, and when you look at the companies that are out there, and Tesla, and it's a $100,000 vehicle, does have a pretty long shelf, and I say a charge of about 200 miles, where pretty much everybody else is 20 to 40 miles, so that's really nothing. So if you want to commute any distance, you want to go Sacramento, San Francisco, you're going to have to stop halfway through, plug in, and then plug in once again. So what good is that? Like you said, that technology, 15 years, they better get on the ball if they want to incorporate, if they want the people and the masses to use that kind of technology.
Well, I mean, let's put in perspective, what, the 200-mile range is probably from what? Let's say from San Luis Obispo, California to Los Angeles. So, you know, it's only going to get you halfway up the state. And then how long is it going to take to charge that vehicle so that you can get to San Francisco? So, I mean, you're looking at 2 to 3 days of drive time just to go from Los Angeles to San Francisco. And I just don't know if Californians, as green as they want to be, want to take 2 days, you know, to drive to San Francisco from the Los Angeles area.
And I don't think, and the other proposal, of course, was that bullet train where you can get there in an hour, but that doesn't seemingly going to be going anywhere either. So that's pretty a difficult task that they have out there. And like you said, that was one of those stories that came up and failed this week.
Well, you know, look, I'm not against the battery cars, you know,
no,
for
absolutely.
The most part. And I do believe eventually maybe the technology will catch up, but obviously it's not going to catch up in the next 15 years to be able to cut the numbers that the California state legislature was hoping. But, you know, technology will continue to grow and people will continue to support technology. But in the long run, you know, that long run is pretty far out as far as that technology catching up in today's motor enthusiast, I guess.
And they would, and then they would have to incorporate into the rural areas, like I said earlier, that mm-hmm. technology up here too. So that's another tough dollar that they have.
Absolutely.
Andrew.
And speaking of rural areas, we had another victory in the California State Legislature. It seems that the cap and trade bill to take $500 million of the cap and trade funds, along with that potential 11 cents per gallon on diesel fuel, along with the adjusted for inflation formula for regular gasoline, has failed. It seems like there's been no deal at this point in time in the California State Legislature for this transportation shortfall. I'm going to use that word all the time, folks. Shortfall, because that's where it is. That $7 to $8 billion shortfall is still going to have to be addressed at some point when the legislature comes back into session this fall.
And they were talking about they were going to have about a $1.2 billion, and they were going to put that wherever and use maybe $500 million of that for research and things like that. But like you said, that's not going to be going anywhere.
Well, come December, it's going to be the same old issue. It's going to be the same old fight. Once again, if you go back 4 years, sometime around our November, December shows and archives, we start talking about the shortfall in the California legislature coming into January for the May revision. And I tell you what, that $7 to $8 billion, even though we've got this balanced budget that the California legislature is touting as being victorious, is still looming.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Heard on 1240 KSU. Right after the news, catch our podcast as well, something brand new. And check us out at the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard.
Lassen Senior Services and Wheels West present Lassen County's first barbecue cook-off, Saturday, October 3rd, 11 a.m., Tractor Supply parking lot. For entry forms or more information, contact Penny Arts at Executive Director at LassenSeniorServices.org or call her 257-2113. Categories are brisket, pork butt, pork ribs, and chicken, judging based on KCBS scoring. Proceeds benefit Lassen Senior Services. Wanted, people interested in renting a 10x10 area to sell their goods, like yard sale items, crafts, merchandise, baked goods, and more. Booth space, just $25 and the table is included. September 12th, 9 to 2, inside Susanville Assembly of God Church Gym. To rent a booth or if you have questions, you can call Kathy, 253-3868. That's 253-3868. This message, a community service of your favorite radio station.
The views and opinions expressed on the 503 Report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management of KSUE or Sierra Broadcasting Company and are brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network.
Okay, California and this nation, here's something that you must know and you should never forget that happened on today's date, September 11, 2001. Two passenger planes hijacked by terrorists crash into New York's World Trade Towers, causing the collapse of both buildings and the death of 2,752 people. 2001, that same day, terrorists hijack a passenger plane and crash it into the Pentagon, causing the death of 125 military personnel. And of course, 2001, here's the one that we always forget. Attempt by the passengers and crew of United Airlines Flight 93 to retake control of their hijacked plane from terrorists causes plane to crash in a Pennsylvania field, killing all 64 people on board. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you on our podcast, where America's voice is heard now on iTunes, Tim.
And that is, Andrew, congratulations on that as well. In September, you know, we can't ever forget 9-11, 2001, as you were mentioning. But what a great accomplishment in a couple of years, 4 years now on iTunes. And maybe you can tell the folks again, or just be tuning in, Andrew, how they can go about getting that on their Android, their smartphone, their iPhone, or iPad.
It's pretty simple for all you tech guys out there. Go to iTunes, type in 503 Report, and just hit subscribe. And it's a free download, and we download every week. And then, of course, all you guys know that you'll be notified immediately whenever we do upload another show for your convenience. And I have to tell you, thank you to iTunes and the Apple family for allowing the 503 Report and our network to be a part of your distribution. Okay, man, let's stay on California just for a few seconds here real quick. You know, it's interesting because, you know, it seems like the NFL is under attack out here in California in accordance to Assembly Bill 30, which is going to ban the use of Redskins for high school mascots out here in the state of California. That's going to affect four schools somewhere in the state of California. I'm not sure exactly, you know, where these high schools, what cities they are located in. But this is the problem once again. Here we go. I'm going to give a quote here from Democrat Assemblyman Luis Alejo. And what he says is that it's far too long we have allowed stereotypes and derogatory terms to be normalized. And then, of course, he goes on to say, it is time for the state to do what is right. The state to do what is right. A word that is commonly used amongst the leftist Democrats down in Sacramento, this state approach to be able to solve the problems. You know, it was the state that was supposed to reduce gasoline use in motorized vehicles by 2030. And then, of course, last week and a few weeks back, we talked about how the state is going to determine how the California pension funds are going to invest their money by not allowing, supposedly, the California pension funds to invest in coal.
Then the state, Andrew, can't get out of their own way, and they can't do anything. It's the people and who you vote in there, but they cannot do that. And you are absolutely correct about the coal as well and the pension funds. And that's going to be a button and a hot topic for the next 6-8 months going into next June, Andrew.
Well, we have a small group of people trying to determine as a state which way we're going to go or what we're not going to do, which gives a lot of fuel to the fire for the Jefferson movement up here, the state of Jefferson, the breakoff into Northern California. So, I mean, once again, that those statements have got to drive libertarian listeners up and down California crazy, if not across this nation.
Well, when they hear the word the state, not we the people.
All right, here's a big one, folks. And this one is an issue of privacy, I think. California Governor Jerry Brown, he vetoed Senate Bill 142, which was designed to prevent drones from flying below 350 feet above private property. Now, look, most aircraft, for all you aviation enthusiasts and individuals who don't understand this, maybe or just don't know, 1,000 feet is the minimum distance above structure when it comes to flying over a community or property. I don't understand why this ban is not going to be allowed because, you know, the drone controversy is going to grow out here in California. But my question is this. Well, okay, if you're not going to ban their ability to be able to fly and hover over private property, I mean, are you going to ban our ability to bring our shotguns out and shoot them down?
Well, you know, that's the question right there, because that has happened in some places around the United States already, and there should be there's no cause for them to be over there anyway. On somebody else's property. Your own, do what you want on your own, but not somebody else's, Andrew.
At that point in time, we all know that they're equipped with cameras, and then, you know, I mean, a lot of people don't want that intrusion. So I just find it kind of interesting. You know, California, we could have led the way a little bit. 350 feet is not unreasonable when it comes to flying over or hovering above individuals' private property. So anyways, we'll just have to see how that is going to go. Now, look, this is interesting with the marijuana dispute that's happening in California, the move to legalize marijuana.
Yes.
It seems like there is a debate whether or not, and you know, folks, you make that decision. You make that decision. You know, should felons be allowed to participate in the marijuana distribution? Should convicted felons, individuals who basically broke the laws of society for decades, could not comply with laws for society for decades, should they be allowed now to participate in legal dispensaries out here in the state of California? That seems to be a debate as far as some of the levels of felonies. I hate how they use the word nonviolent these days, nonviolent drug offenses. I mean, come on, man, the entire drug trade throughout our nation's history has been violent.
And you look back at the history like we were talking about early, and that is absolutely the case on that. And you know, I saw that article as well. I saw that figure of a $1 billion industry on there. What are they planning on doing? What do you think they're going to do with that money? They say they're going to use it. I think we talked about it on a few shows back about education for the kids out there. Marijuana money going for education. How about that?
I don't think that the marijuana industry is going to fund itself. I don't think that there's going to be enough revenue to fund the cost. It's going to cost you, the taxpayer up and down California, to be able to regulate it and to control it. You know, for every employee, obviously, is going to be a state employee, that regulatory agency in California.
The new agency.
Absolutely. And it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you in the form of salaries that are competitive. They're going to be highly paid salaries. And then, of course, you know, there's going to be a pension and health care plan and an obligation that's going to be an unfunded liability. It's going to create an additional unfunded liability, which is why, you know, I don't know how many times I have to say this. I'm just not for legalizing marijuana for the purpose of commercializing and taxing it. So, I mean, the cost factor, I think, and if you look at Colorado, I think Colorado is starting to face some of the issues and the concerns that we're bringing up here today on the 503 Report with this marijuana industry potential.
Do you think, Andrew, because it seems to be garnering a little bit of speed. I know it's been about 20 years since this was first talked about, and here we are coming to maybe to a head, and they're kind of getting serious a little bit about this in Sacramento. Do you see in the next couple of years that it's going to jump forward and it is going to happen? Or are they going to have to wait till, you know, God forbid, that they were to get a supermajority and they could do what they wanted again?
Well, it's interesting. You know, the polling is conflicting, I think. And really, it's going to turn out, you know, really, it's going to be up to voter turnout, you know, for the most part out here in California. And if the low numbers continue to turn out the way they always do, then, of course, it's obvious to predict that, you know, that the state of California is going to probably support this type of measure on the ballot next year if it qualifies, which it should have no problem qualifying, you know, for the most part. But if that silent majority vote out here in California, that conservative vote, actually shows up to vote, there's a potential that possibly it might not pass next year. So, I mean, it's still up in the air. I haven't called it yet, and I'm just not going to assume
sure.
It's going to occur. And, of course, a lot of these pro-marijuana use proponents out there are counting on this presidential election to bring out a lot of Democrats. Now, here's the double-edged sword here. I mean, what some of these leftist Democrats don't understand is that a lot of the independent voters out there are somewhat center-right. And so there could be a case where they declined a state voter base out there could actually go against the initiative potentially next year when it comes to their opinions. Because let's face it, during the initiative process, when there's a high voter turnout for the most part, Californians tend to go center-right, a little more conservative in their voting practice.
Do you think, that, you know, speaking of which, a little over a year away, you know, we're going to have in June the primaries and things like that. You know, we talk about that here a lot, you know, getting more people out. But is that going to resonate throughout the state? Are people starting to wake up a little bit? Is it maybe because we have 17 Republicans running for president, so everybody's talking about them, and now there's four or five Democrats? What do you think, Andrew?
Well, no, June. I mean, look, you can't talk about June. I mean, these 17 candidates, I mean, there's only going to be maybe three or four that are going to be possibly in contention at that point. So, I mean, usually by the time June comes along, and I hate saying this, but this is why there's so much discontent amongst the voters, because by the time June comes along, well, it doesn't matter. My vote doesn't matter. And so, you know, some of our libertarian buddies out there who join the Republican Party tend to, they kind of peel off with that understanding that their vote is not going to matter anyway out here in California, and they go another direction. But the key is going to be here is whether or not the Republican base can come together and support a candidate, even if it is Donald Trump. And when I talk to my libertarian buddies up and down California, that's their struggle. They hem-haw. They not sure. And I'm like, man, come
on. You can't.
You know, then get out of my party. You're causing disruption. Because if you're coming in here to try to support a candidate that obviously is not going to win the nomination, then you don't want to support the individual who wins the nomination. Because let's always remember, folks, the primaries, they are for what? Your conscience. The general elections are for what? Your necessity.
Absolutely. Andrew, in a couple of minutes we got left, next week, a big week for Republicans here in California.
Well, you know, what are you talking about, Tim?
Down in Anaheim, California?
Yeah, well, I kind of thought that's what you're talking about. I don't know, man. I mean, I'm not going to attend the convention down in Anaheim this year. I don't think Governor Scott Walker and Mike Huckabee being the keynote speakers is going to, you know, bring a lot of support. I am kind of surprised that the California Republican Party is bringing Scott Walker out to California, Anaheim, on the eve of a couple of, one could construe as anti-labor initiatives being circulated in California. Hopefully it's just not a disaster where you see a massive amount of government employees, state employees, and teachers and out there protesting Governor Scott Walker out there. I think that would be bigger news, and I think that would be bad news for the California Republican Party. And of course, as a result of that, you know, the Supreme Court of the United States looks like they're picking up a case for next year that we're going to watch very closely. And I got to tell you, Tim, I just don't understand why the United States Supreme Court is picking up this case when it has to do with fair shares of labor organizations. I just don't understand where that is a constitutional issue. When you join a profession or you join an organization or, say, like a homeowners association, the rules apply. And it's no different. So, I mean, the fair share is an obligation that you have as a union member. And most people understand that, whether you like that or not. I mean, you can't reap and sow the benefits of the tree without actually putting a little bit of effort into growing that tree. And so for members to all of a sudden, you know, want to reap the benefits of organized labor out here in California and then not want to pay their fair share, I just totally disagree with.
I think that you just put down in like two pages right there instead of 100 pages that the Supreme Court's going to come out with and say those exact same words that you just said, Andrew. I couldn't have said it any better, buddy.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think most experts right now are early. They're anticipating the Supreme Court to actually go the other way and basically rule in favor of the individual. But it's just going to be interesting because, you know, the precedence is established with homeowners associations. Regardless, once you buy the home in that association, guess what? You're subjected to it. You sign the bottom line. So once you take an employment within the agency shop employment, that agency shop, doing a little union talk here, has got absolute control over the wages, benefits, and they've got the right to take that dues from you.
Is that what the difference is? Is a homeowners association versus people like that? Is that what the big difference is between a homeowners association and a union?
Well, I don't think that there's difference at all because, I mean, basically a union obviously is organized members within a workforce, and a homeowners association are organized homeowners for the sake of keeping their homes up. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Supreme Court takes this. And we're going to watch it closely. But you know, when you look at the California legislature, it looks like, you know, there's a movement of anticipation that the Supreme Court of the United States is going to rule against the unions and in favor of the member.
Man, that's going to be something. It's going to be nice to hear the updates and how that is going to be playing out over the course of the next months or so. Andrew.
Okay, real quick, you know, some concerning news. I just recently learned as of today that my mother's going in for some emergency surgery today. So, Mom, I'm with you. God bless you. And it should be routine. And I'm looking forward to talking to you tomorrow as you begin your recovery. And, of course, now from our favorite book. It comes from Revelations 21:5. Behold, I make all things new. God bless you, America.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And of course, we want to thank those men and women who go to work every day, working the toughest beat in the state, performing a duty so that you, our listener, up and down the state of California and across this nation, can be safe.
Absolutely. The 503 Report, heard Fridays right after the news on 1240 KSUE, right around 1215, about a half hour after the show. Catch the download at SierraDailyNews.com and catch us on iTunes as well. Just subscribe to the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard, and that is our website. You can check out the podcasts there as well. Grab a cup of coffee and join us for a rebroadcast Saturdays at 7 right before the news and Swamp Shop, and Sundays at 7:30 before pre-programmed material. Never forget September 11th. Never forget this day. Everybody out there, I want to wish everybody a great, happy, and healthy weekend, and we'll be talking to you again next Friday right after the news right here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Hello, America. Let me thank you for your time.